On line 33.
Proposal instead of the word program.
Right. On line 33.2, Minnesota should just be singular. On line 33.13, after evaluate, insert the words and report on. And on line 33.16, plan should be changed to proposal.
Does anyone need any of that repeated?
Should we just incorporate that?
So why don't we read it again? Everyone didn't get the...
Okay.
Everyone couldn't hear, I guess.
So on page 15, line 1, we're changing 7 to 6.5, and on 15.2, 8 to 7.2. So those percentages are changing. And then on 33, on line 33.6, the word program is being changed to proposal. On 33.8, we're deleting the words plan for A and then changing the word program to proposal. On 33.12, we're taking the S off Minnesota. 33.13, after the word evaluate, insert and report on. And 33.16, delete plan and insert proposal.
Okay, so that is an amendment to the amendment moved by Representative Thiessen. Is there any discussion of the amendment? Seeing none, those in favor of the amendment say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Now we have the A6 amendment as amended in front of us. Is there any discussion? Senator Laurie.
Section 1 regarding contact lenses is really no longer needed. I move we strike Section 1 as well if that's not going to cause a problem for folks working on revisions. It's okay to have it there, but it's not needed.
They won't slow them down.
No.
Okay. Senator Laurie moves to delete Section 1 on page 1. Any discussion?
Well, Madam Chair, I'll say that this is the only thing that's left is Saitow's bill.
This was... if you want to keep it there, it's okay.
No, I'm just...
We put two bills together and got this done. I was Saitow's Senate author of both provisions. And... everything that needs to be done has already been signed by the governor in this regard. So,
any further discussion of the amendment? Representative Broad.
Madam Chair and Representative Huntley, I believe I was here to strongly uphold the House position, so I would question removing that language.
Any further discussion? Representative Norton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not making a motion. I do just want to comment on the statewide health improvement program.
Well, we've got a motion in front of us.
Oh, I thought we voted. I'm sorry. Do that.
Any
first.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
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 No.
Opposed. The motion is adopted. Now, Representative Norton.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for that, Madam Chair. On what will now be Section 1, but is currently Section 2 in the statewide improvement plan, the term competitive has been added in here, and I'm not making a motion at this point, but I do just want to share my concern. Having been involved in the STEPS program for a number of years now, which is kind of the basis for this whole concept. That was a competitive process. The idea of the statewide improvement plan was to have it become statewide, and I'm a little concerned that the competitive language could impede the statewide perspective and assurance that all public health departments will have the opportunity to address obesity and tobacco. I'm hoping that's not the case, and we have an excellent Department of Health, and I just want to state for the record that it is my hope that they, because they know of the Statewide Health Improvement Plan report and the STEPS grant, and they know the intent is for a statewide, because it says so right on the top of the page, that they will do their very best to make certain that all public health departments and all communities statewide have an opportunity to address obesity and tobacco.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the amendment as amended?
Madam Chair, can you just for the record and just I think for satisfaction of the folks in the audience, talk a little bit about the interaction between this bill and the tax bill related to the tax credits and other issues?
We are going to go through the amendment.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I just wanted to put it on the table in
Perfect.
Front of us.
Thank you.
Any other discussion then of the amendment? There will be more discussion, but any objection to adopting the amendment at this time? Okay, if not, then those in favor of the A6 amendment as amended, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. We will have the staff now go through the amendment, and I think you know which one of you is doing which part, so just take it off. Take it away.
Madam Chair, Article 1 is the public health article, and now Section 2 is the only article. And as Representative Norton pointed out, the change is that the grants were moved to competitive grants. So everything else, for the most part, is identical to how it was passed before.
Any questions on this section?
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I guess there was a goals section at the beginning that's now gone.
Yes. 10%. Any questions? Let's go on then.
10%. Madam Chair, Article 2 is the healthcare home article. In Section 1, one of the differences from the earlier bill is in the definition of personal clinician, the language allowing the Commissioner of Health to designate other providers as personal clinicians is not in this bill. Subdivision 2 deals with the standards for healthcare homes, and I guess it's just probably safe just to say that they are sort of changes throughout. They're not sort of major changes, but there's been some rewrite of the standards. Also, in paragraph C of that subdivision, we now include language requiring expedited rulemaking rather than an exemption, total exemption from the rulemaking requirements. Moving to page 5, that section 2, which is dealing with the reporting requirements for health care homes, the main difference here is that there's no longer language requiring a report of the standards prior to implementation to the Legislative Commission on Healthcare Access. Then I believe the only other difference here would be in Section 4. This is just more I guess both Sections 3 and 4 are a little bit more detailed language on the commissioner's duties related to the other payment reform in Chapter 62U. So some of this language was moved from Chapter 62U. Then moving, I guess that's the end of the presentation of differences in Article 2.
Are there any questions? Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, my question was actually back on the public health article.
Sure.
We kind of move fast. Our staff is very good about kind of keeping us moving. And it's a similar concern to the one raised by Representative Norton in terms of the public health grants. At first I had thought it was just that the competitive word had been put in. It still keeps referring to a statewide program. But then I realized that the section that identifies the basis for funding for which communities would be eligible. In the past, it had the commissioner setting a base amount and an amount per capita. has been removed. So, but the requirements for applying have remained without funding, which says that you'd have to do a community needs assessment. You have to identify a community leadership team, community partners, develop a community action plan, have proposed action strategies, technical assistance needs, and a staffing plan. And so we're asking a fair amount of work with no planning funds and also with no guidance as to, you know, what they might expect and the parameters by which you would put together your proposal. And for most of these agencies, many of them are multiple counties, and they might be dealing with, you know, 5 to 10 school districts and 15 cities and towns and a variety of clinics. And to pull all that together and do all that planning work without any understanding of the potential size of the grants, having it varied by the size, I think is really asking for a lot without a clear definition of the expectation.
I think that was a statement, not a question.
Well, was that, but was it there going, the intention was going to be that the commissioner would offer guidance then for what the size of the potential grant would be?
We can ask someone from the Department of Health to come up to answer the question.
Madam Chair, committee members, I'm Kara McNulty, and I'm with the Minnesota Department of Health. The intent is absolutely that we would provide guidance to the communities to do the work that they would need to get their planning, get their community advisory in place, develop their action plan. It'll take a lot of technical assistance, and we're prepared to do that.
Madam Chair, my question, Ms. McNulty, was not about your providing technical assistance to them. It was for them doing all this work, which might take a half-time position for a long period of time to even prepare the grant request, whether they would, during that period, have guidance or an expectation about what the size of the grant is that they might ultimately receive, so that when they're putting together their plan and devoting a half-time staff person or a full-time staff person for 9 months to this project, doing the application, will they have clear guidance from the department as to what amount of money they might expect? Previous versions of the bill did have an understanding of a base and a per capita, so it would vary by the size and the complexity of the population to be served.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, yes, they would have guidance on the amount that they would be given. We would have to do that in order for them to be planning on what kind of initiatives they're doing, what communities they're working with, what populations they're working with. So, yes, they would.
Thank you.
Thank you. Continue then.
Madam Chair, Article 3 is the Access Continuity of Care article. Perhaps I'll start by mentioning, I guess, what provisions are not in this bill that were in the previous bill. There's no provision increasing Minnesota Care families and children to 300% of poverty. The increase in the income limit for adults without children now goes up to 250% of poverty. There's no language for Minnesota Care delayed verification. Also, no elimination of the four-month Minnesota Care insurance barrier. And now I'll go through the sections. Section 1 is the data sharing provision related to the school lunch program, which is identical to what was in the previous bill. Subdivision 2 deals with making application and renewal forms available on the web in the most common languages. So this is sort of one of the provisions from more extensive language in the previous bill on automation and coordination, and there's a study related to this later. Section 3 increases the application assistance bonus, and a difference here is we make or specify that licensed insurance agents are eligible for the bonus. Section 4 is an identical language related to school district reach. Section 5 just sort of modifies the language of the Cover All Kids and refers to coverage being seamless between medical assistance and Minnesota Care. Section 6 increases the hard income cap for parents from $50,000 to $57,500. The previous bill eliminated this income cap. Section 7 is a language that increases the income limit for adults without children on Minnesota Care to 250% the federal poverty guidelines. Section 8 contains the same language in the previous bill on applying for the program at designated locations in the community, and it also contains the grace month for persons who fail to submit their renewal information in a timely manner. Section 9 is the rolling eligibility provision providing a grace month for persons who do not pay their premiums in a timely manner. Section 10 contains provisions relating to the increase in the income standard for adults without children and also the increase in the hard income cap. Then Section 11 is the section that establishes, beginning July 1 of 2009, a new Minnesota Care Siding Scale, and this was a section that was amended by Representative Thiessen. Section 12 is new language. It requires a study or a report on improving coordination between social service and health care programs. Section 13 is the same. It's a long-term care worker coverage study. Section 14 is an identical repealer that repeals the $4 monthly premium, which is, and the language is reinstated elsewhere in the bill.
Are there any questions? Why don't we continue?
Article 4 is the health insurance purchasing and affordability reform. Section 1 is a new section. This requires doer in the health insurance benefit plans that are offered in the commissioner's plan and the managerial plan that they must include an option for a high deductible health plan and an HSA. In the previous bill, we said that they shall consider this option. Section 2 and Section 3 are the same. Your electronic prescription drug program and electronic records. Section 4, the definitions of this new chapter 62U. The difference here in clinically effective and cost effective, the last sentence there is added in both those definitions, that the definition shall not be used to exclude or deny technology and treatment for certain reasons. Rest of the definitions are the same. Section 5 is the incentive payments based on quality of care. This is essentially the same. There are no changes of any significance. Section 6 is the care coordination payments. This requires the health plan companies to include health care homes in their provider networks and pay a care coordination fee to the members who choose to enroll in the health care homes. And it also requires the Commissioner of Finance to implement the care coordination payment fees to the CGIP program. Language is added to allow the Commissioner of Finance to reallocate payments within the healthcare system in order to ensure that the implementation section is cost neutral. Section 7 is the healthcare costs and improvement payment reform section. The subdivision 1 is kind of a reworked language that so requires the Commissioner of Health to develop a plan to create transparent prices, encourage greater provider innovation and collaboration, reduce the administrative burdens on providers and health plans, and provide comparative information to consumers. Subdivision 2 is essentially the same. Subdivision 3 is essentially the same. We continue to have peer grouping. Subdivision 4 encounter data is essentially the same. Pricing data is essentially the same. Subdivision 6 is the same. Subdivision 7 is a new section on consumer engagement requiring the Commissioner of Health to convene a work group to develop strategies for engaging consumers and understanding the importance of healthcare costs and quality. Subdivision 8 is essentially the same, and 9 is essentially the same. Section 8 in the baskets of care, we now have a minimum of 7 baskets of care instead of the 15. We still require the commissioner to consider coronary artery and heart disease, diabetes, asthma, and depression. We've added to the extent possible that these baskets of care must incorporate a patient-directed decision-making support model. Package prices is essentially the same. Subdivision 3 on the quantity measurements for the basket of care is the same. Section 9 is still coordination and legislative oversight. The legislative oversight has been reduced to just simply say that the Commissioner of Health shall submit to the Healthcare Access Commission periodic progress reports on the implementation of this chapter. We also add expedited rulemaking process authority for this chapter. Section 10 and the Section 125 plans. We've changed the language that if the opt-out language that would allow the employer to check a box indicating that the employer is opting out and that the employer certifies that they have received education and information on the advantages of Section 125 plans. Subdivision 4 is new. These are employer incentive grants that DEED will award to small employers that establish 125 plans. And the amount of the grant awarded to the small employer shall be the lesser of the employer's actual cost in establishing the plan, or $350. Section 11 is the benefit set. It's now an essential benefit set and requires the Commissioner of Health to still convene a work group to design a health benefit set that provides coverage for a broad range of services and technologies. We also have the Commissioner reporting the recommendations of the work group back to the legislature. The technology assessment has been taken out. That was in the original bill. Section 12 is the Reform Review Council. We've added some members. It's now a 14-member review council. Section 13 is the same. Section 14 is the same. Section 15 is the healthcare affordability proposal. This takes the place of the subsidies, the employee subsidies plan that was going to come back, the department was going to come back with, and the affordability standard requires the commissioner to develop a health care affordability proposal for eligible individuals and employees with access to employer-subsidized health coverage with a 300% income or less. And other things that have been taken out, the affordability standard, as I said, the employee subsidies for health coverage, and the projected and actual health care spending section that was in the bill has been moved to the budget bill. I believe that's it.
Members, I believe there is another correction that needs to be made on page 30, line 30.32. I believe we should delete all of line 30.32 except the number 350. So Representative Thiessen makes that motion.
I do.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment is adopted. Are there any?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
There's another correction that I've been informed of. This is on page 5. There's an incorrect citation. Line 12 of page 5, we have a reference to subdivision 6, paragraph A, and that should be deleted, and it should read subdivision 6B.
6B?
Right, subdivision 6B.
Representative Thiessen moves that amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment is adopted. Are there any questions about any of the other sections that we've just gone through?
Should we go through them section by section?
Representative Thiessen.
Yeah, sure. Representative Loeffler seemed to disappear for a minute. Can we just take 1 minute?
Sure.
Is she back there? Let me just check.
Well, while we're doing that, and before we go through the spreadsheet, we wanted to call to your attention that there will be language in the tax bill, although the appropriation will be carried in this bill, for a tax credit program. And the program will be available to people who have been uninsured for a year and are receiving a 125 benefit for families between 250 and 300% of poverty, or people without children between 200 and 275% of poverty. And for that 1 year, they will receive a 20% tax credit on the remainder of their premium after the 125 benefit is subtracted. And so we will see in the tracking sheet money in the tracking sheet and in the appropriations article to pay for that, and that will be tracked in the future in the Minnesota Care balance sheet so that we can keep track of it against our total expenditures. And so when we get to that, you'll know what that is about. Representative Loeffler, did you have a question about it?
No, I didn't have a question at this point. Okay.
Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, I just have a question, and frankly, I can't remember the answer, but in the healthcare home section, we had lots of discussion about providing for that initial assessment, and I'm unclear as to whether or not that is a piece that has survived or not, and if it did survive, maybe someone could refer me to where that might be.
Yes, it did survive, and it should be in the section on requirements for clinicians certified as healthcare homes.
It's page 4, line 8 through 10. It's
Madam Chair and Ms. Kavanaugh, thank you very much.
Any other questions? If not, then why don't we set aside the language and have the spreadsheets distributed so we can have that presented.
Thank you.
follow you. Okay.
So, members, the spreadsheet will show a column for House, Senate, and Conference, and the House and Senate columns are as we came into the first conference committee on the reform bill. Mr. Godfrey, do you want to go through the spreadsheet?
Madam Chair, members, as Madam Chair mentioned, the conference column, the far right column, is the column we'll be walking through. Just point out to you on line two, and actually, yeah, line two, you'll see.
Excuse me just a minute. Whoever has a cell phone on in this room, could they take it outside?
Senator Lynch.
Madam Chair, members, line two, you'll see the total spending in this bill, net spending. And in fiscal year 08-09, it's $9.8 million. 10 and 11, it's $109.2 million, total of $118.9 million. There are some general fund savings in this bill. In 08-09, it's $3.6 million. In 10 and 11, $18.5 million. Healthcare Access Fund spending is $13.5 million in 08-09 and $127.6 million. And that's a total of just over $141 million. Then going to line 16 on page 1, you'll see a summary of the Healthcare Access Fund balance. And you'll see, if you look under the fiscal year 11 column, on line 21 is the ending balance of the Healthcare Access Fund after the spending in this bill, and it will be a positive balance of $251 million at the end of fiscal year 11. Then you'll see a summary of the three agencies that are affected by this bill, Department of Human Services, Health, and a small change for the Department of Revenue. Then we'll begin going through the change items on line 88 for the Department of Human Services.
Yeah.
You'll see the healthcare homes item for the Department of Human Services spends $824,000 in fiscal year 08-09 and $2.7 million in 10 and 11, and that is general fund money. Then turning to page 2, on line 125 is Minnesota Care one-month rolling eligibility, small cost in 08-09 of $345,000, and then a cost in 10 and 11 of $9.2 million of healthcare access fund money. Then moving down to line 158 is the Minnesota Care premium reduction for families with children. The number you'll see here for 10 and 11 reflects premium schedule that was actually amended earlier, I believe, by Representative Thiessen. So what you have here is an original cost of $3.2 million, but then once the amendment is taken into consideration, it adds another $1.1 million for a total of $4.3. And this does not affect the appropriations article that you'll see momentarily because it takes place in the details and is a forecasted program. Then turning to page 3, line 167 is change for Minnesota Care families with children to increase the household income limit to $57,500, and this has a cost of $1.5 million in 10 and 11. On line 176 is the Minnesota Care adults without children expansion to 250% of poverty with a premium reduction. The new premium schedule that's been
included in the bill now adds an additional $255,000 in 10 and 11, for a total of just over $10 million in 10 and 11 for that item. On line 194 is the Minnesota Care Grace Month. Small cost of $339,000 in 08-09 and a cost of $19.2 million in 10 and 11. Going down to line 218 is the Minnesota Care Outreach Incentive Funding. It's a cost of $3.9 million in 10 and 11. On page 4, line 232 is an item for seamless coverage for Minnesota Care eligible children. This is to pay for the 2 months of the auto enrollees in Minnesota Care out of the Healthcare Access Fund. It spends $3.6 million in 09 from the Healthcare Access Fund and saves $3.6 million in 09 from the General Fund. In 10 and 11, it spends $18.2 from the Healthcare Access Fund and saves the same amount in the General Fund. On line 245 is the Long-Term Care Workers Insurance Study, a net cost of $482,000 in fiscal year 09. Then turning to page, actually that's the last item in for the Department of Human Services. Turning to page 5 for the Department of Health, you'll see on line 302 the administrative funding for the Department of Health to implement provisions in this bill. And the actual labeling here is incorrect. It says sunsets at the end of fiscal year 11. It actually will sunset now in the bill language in fiscal year 12. At the end of fiscal year 12. The item appropriates $3.8 million in 08-09 and then $6.1 million in 10 and 11. On line 318 is the statewide health improvement program, and this spends $46 million from the Healthcare Access Fund in 10 and 11 and is sunsetted after fiscal year 11. Turning to page 6, line 349. Is a statewide health savings research and measurement item that spends $152,000 in 08-09 and $304,000 in 10 and 11. On line 356 is a transfer to the Department of Deed from MDH for the implementation of implementation grants for employers implementing Section 125. And that costs a one-time amount of $1 million in 09. The agency will be given carry-forward authority, though, into 10 and 11. On line 369 is the funding for the MDH portion of the healthcare homes. Spends $513,000 in 08-09 and $2.1 in 10 and 11. Also should note here on line 374, the department will be receiving with assistance from the Department of Human Services, some federal matching funds that the DHS typically gets, but the MDH qualifies in this instance for this appropriation. On line 378 is a one-time appropriation of $84,000 for a community benefit standards study project. On line 384 is a healthcare workforce shortage study, cost the same amount, one-time, $84,000 in fiscal year 09. On line 384 is another one-time appropriation for $500,000 for a healthcare affordability study. Then turning to page 7, line 416 is a one-time appropriation for Open Door Health Center of $350,000 in 09. And then on line 422 is the FQHC subsidy appropriation, increases the existing appropriation by $1 million, and also basically shifts the funding from the general fund to the healthcare access fund for 9, 10, and 11. And it spends $2 million net in the next biennium. And then finally, on line 431 is the Department of Revenue item. This is the tax credit that Madam Chair spoke of earlier. And it costs, beginning in fiscal year 10, $57,000, and in 11, $745,000. You'll just note that on line 437 is the amount that the tax, the revenue loss that will be created by the credit. It's $730,000 a year, and the remaining amount is administrative costs for the Department of Revenue. And, Madam Chair, that completes the spreadsheet.
Are there any questions? Okay, then we'll move on to go through our total. Our total fund balance sheet looks like this.
Madam Chair, members, you should have a one-page legal-size sheet that's the Health Care Access Fund, health reform. This summarizes all the Health Care Access Fund appropriations in the bill. And I'd just like to draw your attention to line 98 at the bottom. You'll see again the $251 million positive balance at the end of fiscal year 11. You'll also notice on the line above that, line 97, the structural balance, which now at the end of fiscal year 11 for that year is $54.5 million. Just to reiterate again the test that the Department of Finance provided us, or guidance that they provided us in terms of being structurally balanced going into the 12-13 biennium, is that the structural balance should, when multiplied by 2, should be no greater than the balance at the end, the overall balance at the end of fiscal year 11. And in this case, you'll see that this bill more than meets that test, and in fact could meet it probably for a subsequent biennium after 12 and 13.
Any questions about this sheet? Representative Huntley.
Madam Chair, I was just going to point out that balance, of, we were required to have twice as much as the structural deficit, and we have roughly 5 times as much.
It was difficult getting there. Okay, if there are no questions about those sheets, then we have the appropriations article, Article 5. Why don't we go through that article,
Manager?
We're going to talk to you.
The transfer from the Health Care Access Fund of the loan, $50 million, is that something?
It's not in this bill.
It's not in this bill?
Madam Chair, I would move the A7 amendment.
Why don't we go through the A7 amendment just to make sure everybody feels that we have done it correctly this time?
Madam Chair and members, A7 amendment is the Article 5 appropriations. Section 1 is just the totals for the whole bill. Section 2 is boilerplate. Section 3 is the human services appropriations. Let's see. On page 2, I think the first is the seamless coverage for Minnesota care eligible children. Next one is at the bottom of the page, Department of Education and Computer System. On page 3, then there's the appropriation to the Department of Human Services for the healthcare homes and the incentive program and outreach grants is on page 3, line 21. Outreach funding for the Health Department of Human Services is on page 4, line 10. Then at the bottom of the page is the start of the appropriations for the Commissioner of Health. Page 5, the base adjustment on starting on line 5.9 includes the appropriation for the statewide health improvement program. Line 25 is the appropriation to the Commissioner of Health for healthcare homes. Line 35, page 532 is the health savings projection and measurement rider. Page 6, line 3 is the open door health center. Page 6, line 9 is community benefit standards appropriation. That goes through the rest of the page. Then on page 7, line 1, the federally qualified health centers rider. Line 18 is the language for the healthcare reform. I believe that it sunsets those provisions in 2013. Section 125, employer incentives rider, is on line 22. And then at the bottom of the page, there's language for the Commissioner of Revenue. I think you can ignore those dollar signs. And then page 8, line 6, is the appropriation for the Commissioner of Finance, or rider, rather, for the Commissioner of Finance.
And can you just point out to us where the rider language would be for the long-term care workers insurance study?
Madam Chair, I believe that's not a rider, but that was uncodified language in the bill.
All right, thank you. Any other questions about Article 5?
It's one change.
One change, Ms. Kavanagh, could you point it out?
Madam Chair, on page 7, line 28, it should be 62U.07.
Can you just repeat that?
On line 7, page 20, page 7, line 28. It should be section 62U.07, not 62O.
Okay. Representative Huntley moves that amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Any other question or discussion about Article 5? If not, Representative Huntley has moved the adoption of Article 5. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. Are there any other questions?
Madam Chair, I would move that we adopt the conference committee report as amended.
Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. We will be sending this off to the revisor's office, and the conference committee report will be round-robined on the floor of the Senate and on the floor of the House for signatures. So we will not be meeting again to do that. And I would like to thank everyone who's worked on this conference committee, including Representative Abler, who worked on the previous conference committee, for the contributions everyone has made. I'd like to thank all of our staff that's worked very hard, not only through these two conference committees, but all summer, all fall, and all winter to get the few steps we have in this bill to move us forward. And I would like to thank those of you who are here tonight who worked on working groups or who served on the Healthcare Transformation Task Force for the contributions that you have made in regard to the plan and the vision for getting this bill to the point that it is at. I would like to thank the people from the Department of Health that have worked both on the Transformation Task Force report and who have done work on language and various concepts in the bill itself. I'd like to thank the Department of Human Services for the work they've done in regard to the bill and various concepts in the bill, and for the times that they have been flexible enough to see a way to change their systems to accommodate this bill. And I would also like to thank all of you who have not been involved in the process since last summer, but who have added input as we've gone along through the session. We appreciate it. Representative Huntley?
Well, you've covered almost everyone, but I'd like to thank the House people that were involved, John Walls, Randy Chun, Emily Cleveland, Tom Pender, and the staff of the Minnesota Department of Health, as Senator Berglund said, particularly Scott Leitz, Julie Sonier, and Kara McNulty, who lost their summer and fall and winter, and now spring, I think, making sure that watching over us so we did things right. I'd like to thank my conferees, Paul Thiessen, Diane Loeffler, Aaron Murphy, Kim Norton, Laura Broad, and Jim Abler, and then some more of our staff people, Jen McNurtney, Dan Pollack, and most of all, Jen Holcomb. So thank you for all your work that you've done.
Thank you, everyone. And with that, the conference committee is adjourned.
I'm just joking.
Yep. Work actually begins.
Yeah, now really the fun starts.
Good job.